Now, there's the reason why it says this. Now, don't forget this, verse 11 here, emphasize something. That there are times, okay, let me just read from verse 10. He said, if you are obeying the word of God, you are obeying the voice of his minister, yet you are not seeing the results that you thought you should see, and your life is not experiencing, all right, or manifesting the light that was prophesied that you will experience. He said, let him trust in the name of the Lord. That is, you must continue to trust in the name of the Lord and rest or rely on your God. He said, now those who don't do this, who easily get tired, who, like Habakkuk said, they turn back, all right, away from their faith, that God loses delight in them. He said, this is what happens to them. They now begin to engineer their own activities. They forsake the work of God and go for their own works. They depart from the rest of God, like we have been explaining. He said, what they will have eventually is what he calls lying down in torment. That is, what a Christian must do is to, even in the midst of his adversity, learn to trust in God totally and hold on to his hands. Please, put something there. Quickly open to the book of Isaiah chapter 30. We must read that one to be able to understand this properly. Remember I said something at the beginning of this series, that this particular faith rest series, that adversities will come in life. Trials will come. And let me say this so I don't forget to say it. God has a word to speak in every situation in your life. That's one. And number two, he has a name that he bears in every situation of life. How you step into God's rest is to speak, is to meditate on the word that he has spoken concerning that situation and call him by the proper name in the midst of that adversity. Are you getting my point? He said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It tells me, therefore, that it's a conscious effort he makes to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. He exerts himself, like we read in the book of Hebrews, to enter into God's rest. He said, labor to enter into that rest. So dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, the secret place of the Most High, the resting place of God, is a conscious effort you make to dwell in there. Now, when you have made that effort, you will abide, he says, under the covering, the influence of the Almighty. Now, how do you do that? In that next line, he said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. That is, when I want to enter into a secret place, you know, in fact, the other day I was watching, I think my children were watching one children's channel on TV. And I now saw the way, of course, there was a cartoon of this story we learned when we were children about, I think, Ali or something. Open Sesame. Remember Open Sesame? Yeah. Open Sesame. Can you remember it? Now, those things were folk tales, but they were based on spiritual principles. When Ali wanted to enter, is it Abu or Ali, one of them anyway? Ali Baba, all right? Okay. When he wanted to enter into that place, he spoke a word. He did not fight the door. What did he do? He spoke a word. Now, it's a divine principle. When you want to enter into places in the realm of the spirit, it's words that you speak. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said, I will say of the Lord, so as to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I get to the door that leads to the Most High place. I get there and say, how do you enter? I say something to that door. I say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. The door will open, I step in. Are you getting my point? The challenge of Christianity is to maintain speaking that word even when adversity is raging. The challenge of Christianity is, yes, you have a phone, you could call somebody. Say, no, that's not where I'm starting from. Let me say of the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen. Christianity is a battle of words. I said, spiritual things, not just Christianity. All right? Life is a battle of words. Are you getting what I'm saying? When Job was being tested, all that was being listened out for was what he would say. So how do I dwell in the secret place of the Most High? We'll get back to that in a moment. Let me not just sit on it now. Let me quickly read that Isaiah chapter 40. Chapter 30, sorry. I want to read from verse 15, just four verses. It said, for thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. For thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel has said, in repentance and rest you shall be saved. Or you shall be delivered, or you shall be healed, or you shall be caused to prosper. In quietness and trust is your strength. Your strength is not in laboring, it's not in exerting yourself. In quietness and trust is your strength. He said the problem with the people were speaking to us, they were not willing. What did they say? No. For we flee on horses. He said, therefore, you shall flee. Let me say, before I read further, you know what it means, therefore, you shall flee? You said we'll flee on horses. I will give you enough reasons to run. That's what it means by therefore, you shall flee. Because you were determined to run, I will give people the strength to chase you, so you will run. Oh God, let me tell you something. Life is spiritual. I don't argue with people anymore on what makes sense and what does not make sense. I was with my wife yesterday. I was trying to readjust something she was doing. She was trying to explain. I said, listen, baby, if you want to do it, it will make sense. If you don't want to do it, you will have reasons not to do it. What I mean is that if you don't want to obey this order, you want to continue doing it this particular way, you have enough reasons to think what you are doing makes sense. Like I give examples to women all the time. If you want to disobey your husband, you will see how foolish he is. He will be so foolish, you won't understand why you obey him. But the fundamental was not his foolishness. It was that from the beginning you said, I will flee on horses. So God said, therefore, you shall flee. I thought about it a few days ago. I said, God, all my life I always thought that God give me a wife to be a blessing to me. A few months ago, I realized that God also gave her a husband to be a blessing to her. I don't know whether you get my point. That is, listen, there are times I have thought, if my wife was not like this, or I was not like this, what would life have been like? Then I realized that, Banky, it could not have been like that. From the beginning, God looked at your heart and said, this is the kind of woman that you should marry. And God looked at her heart and said, I will find you this kind of husband. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you say, I will flee on horses. If you say, women are very wicked, they don't know how to spend money. Don't worry. Don't worry. You will find Jezebel will resurrect. They will marry you. There's nothing you can do about it. Once you open your mouth, you know that in your heart, you've been saying, I will flee on horses. I have to protect myself against these wicked women. You know what's going to happen? God said, therefore, you shall flee. Therefore, I will give you a woman that will make sure you need that protection against wickedness. Are you following what I'm saying? Listen, oh God. I do something a lot. I just take off on a tangent, forget the thing where I won't preach before. It's not my fault, my brother, my sister. It's not my fault. My consolation is I hope you are learning something. Yes. What am I saying? If you prepare yourself spiritually for a problem, it will come. If you decide, he said, I've only said it. No. Men are like this. You will be proved right. That's what I'm saying. What you believe will be proved right in your life. Suddenly you will make sense to yourself. Yes, you will. Let me just leave it. The Lord has given me the leeway to leave it. So let me go back. He said, no, we will flee on horses. God said, therefore, you shall flee. He said, and we will ride on swift horses. That is, this is how we will flee on horses. We will get very fast ones. God said, very nice. Therefore, those who pursue you shall be swift. Can you see that people will tell you that, why are you running? It's because people are pursuing me. God said, no. I gave people to pursue you, to you, because you wanted to run. Do you get the point? The faster you run, the faster the pursuers will be. If you run away from poverty, listen to me, child of God, it will catch up with you everywhere you go. You think a visa to America or Australia is passport away from poverty? And you are a believer. Hear ye the word of the Lord. God said, when you get there, after settling down, it will come again upon you again. You start running again. This is Christianity. In returning and in what? Rest. In returning and what? Rest. You will be saved. A friend of mine told me sometime, it was my classmate, some time ago. He said, you guys were wise. We're talking about career choices after leaving university and all of that. He said, you guys were wise. Now, people will look at it as if you saw what the rest of us did not see. As if we could plot the events of the country and the future of the profession and money matters and economic matters. That's not true. Listen to me. What happens is that economic matters and money matters respond to our choices. So it will not appear as if you knew. Are you getting my point? It will not appear as if you knew. No, it's not as if you knew. It was that you made the right choices according to divine order. Then the events of the earth cooperated to make you appear right. Are you following what I'm saying? Listen, Christianity is faith first, not sight first. If God says something, you believe it, life will rearrange to make it look as if you knew what you were doing. That's why people keep on writing books from behind. All these books should have been written in Arabic. I don't know why they write them in English. You say, what am I saying? You know, you read them backwards. You know Arabic, you read it from left, from right to left. What do I mean? You see what I'm saying? We write people's stories as if they knew what they were doing when they started. Why? Because they have succeeded. 20 keys or 20 habits of successful people. One, they always take the left foot comes out of the door first in the morning before the right. When you ask the man, why do you always put the left foot out of your door first? He said, do I do that? He said, yes, sir. We have been following you with a hidden camera for the last 3 years. And we found out that 85% of the times, so it's your left foot that comes out first of the door. The man said, thanks. I didn't know that. Not that you have told me. Next time I'm going to preach, I'll tell them. That's how we write our books backwards. What am I trying to explain? Let me not waste time on that. The point is that the people really did not know that life was going to come out for them like that. They did the best they could. Listen, many people did exactly what they did. Except that one government legislation, one natural disaster that happened or did not happen, made them fail. That's why I said the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. He said bread is not to the discerning. Neither is favor to men of understanding. He said, look at under the sun, time and chance just happens to them all. What am I saying? Spiritual things, that's the way they are. We make the right choices based upon the word of God, and life begins to behave as if we knew what we're doing. Most of the decisions me I have made in life, I've looked back now. They are decisions made, I don't want to say in confusion. No, they was not in confusion. But was not in the knowledge of the future. Do you follow my point? It was what was right, given the word of God in the midst of those circumstances, and my willingness to believe that which I know, that was what was right. That's what Christianity is. Let's continue reading, please. He said, because you said, we will ride on horses. Therefore, those who will ride on swift horses. Therefore, those who pursue you shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one man. You shall flee at the threat of five, until you are left as a flag on a mountain top and as a signal on a hill. But this is what God wanted. Verse 18. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are those who long for him. Now, let me just say something. I'm reading the New American Standard, so they say, how blessed are those who long for him. Literal Hebrew, it's even written here, side note. Says, how blessed are those who wait for him. And that's what King James says. Right? Yeah, good. Now, this is the point I'm making. Let me just stop there. If you see, why did I read this? Just to emphasize the issue of wait, resting. That is when God works. God says, when people are too active, I can't do anything for them. In returning and in rest, is when their salvation will show. Their strength, he said, is in quietness and in trusting the Lord. We said that one last week. I just need to emphasize it. Therefore, the labor, we read in Hebrews, he said, therefore, let us labor to enter into rest. Please let me not for, let me remind us of it again so that we don't forget. Each time you have a work, that's a work of God for you. I told myself, my wife again today, I said, you know those things I said I was going to do before? I said, oh girl, I have forsaken them again. Because I have realized that's not the work of God. I know the work of God for me. Listen, the reason why I felt I should do this so that I can reach a particular end, that was the reason. But now I have understood again, after I meditated and listened to the things that I said myself, I said, no, once I have found the work of God, this is the discipline of Christianity, to be willing to wait. What have I just emphasized now? Natural things we predict in a particular way. Devil will say, we'll run on horses. And once you determine to run on horses, you know what's going to happen? The things that are chasing you will suddenly increase in speed. Listen, as a Christian, you don't just get up and say, hey, I'm running to this country, I'm running to this country. Because I believe that it's easier to prosper there. Let me tell you something. The word of God is not a description of what is factually correct, though. I don't know where I get my point. The word of God is not a description for what we can see physically. It's a description of what God is creating. I don't know whether I heard me. God doesn't describe what he's seeing. He says what he's creating in the midst of what is currently happening. So when God will come to the earth, he said, don't worry, the earth has vegetation. You'll go there, you won't see vegetation. But when someone says, let's go to the earth, he said, go away. Can't see there's nothing there. And you now come and say, God said there is vegetation. Once you say it, they begin to sprout. 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 Are you getting what I'm saying? Be careful when you want to disobey the word of God. Be very careful. Look, it's risky. Let me say it again. There's nothing wrong with leaving the country. Amen? It is why I always fight. It's why. The missionaries left and came to Nigeria. Is that not so? Good. So leaving is not what I'm talking about. It's why. It's my trust in that if I get it, life will be better. That's what I'm telling you. If you are just running on horses, and poverty will run faster than you, that's what God is saying. What am I trying to explain? Don't forget this statement I made. The word of God is not a description of what you are seeing. It's a description of what will be created if you believe. It's a description of what he's creating that he needs your faith to produce. That is, if you don't believe, you will appear as if you were right. You will sit down and tell yourself, Shebi, I said so. That was what I said. I knew it. But you are saying that because you did not activate the power to produce something new. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, when we talk like this, we're not trying to make you feel happy. We're trying to make ourselves, nobody's trying to make anybody feel happy. We are declaring truth, which if men don't believe, it will not happen. But if they believe, because the thing is already happening in the realm of the spirit, it's just looking for a proper connection, so it might be downloaded onto the earth. If you truncate the connection, doesn't mean the thing is not on the internet. You know what I'm saying? You just couldn't download it. It's a connection problem. Faith is what the connection is. That's what we're describing. So God said, this is how it manifests. If a man truly believes in me, in returning and in rest, he comes down, picks up the thing that I have given him as the work of God, and most certainly, I will activate my power in his or her life, and the person will see that which my word is producing. Are you getting my point? So the challenge is step into his rest. Are you following me? Like I said, you know, I said to you that there are two things I wanted to say today. One, beginning part to end that thing I was talking about, the rest of God. And secondly, to now go into how do we enter into God's rest. I will introduce it. My time is very far gone now. Psalm 131. We're reading a lot of scriptures today. Psalm 131. How do I step into God's rest? Earlier on, I got ahead of myself. I began to talk about it. I began to talk about it in which I quoted from Psalm 91, in which it says, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." David said in Psalm 131, he said, "O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters." That is, I don't do God's work for him. I do my own. That I don't do what is the work that God says is his own. I do the one that God says is my own. It's called the work of God. I rest from my own works. He said, "I do not involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me." Let me just say this quickly to you before we read further. Where God is taking you to in life is too difficult for you. Did I hear an amen? Amen. It is. The Bible says that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above all you can ask or imagine. Think about. That's what he can do. There's a limit to what you can ask about. You know that? There are requests that are too big for your mouth. You're just afraid. Even when it comes to thinking, there are things you can't just think about. Not because you're angry or afraid, though. There are things you can't think of, you're afraid, or you're angry. There are things that your brain cannot conceive. You have never seen it. And I said to you earlier, I am buying football for my children because of JJ Okocha. What they will become, JJ Okocha has never seen it. The world has not seen it. It is when they produce it that you will notice that it is there. Do you get the point I'm making? I mean, let's just quickly, just to digress for a moment. The world has a problem with power now, you know. Oil will finish. BP well ruptured in the center of the Gulf of Mexico. And it was for 3 months spewing millions and millions of barrels of oil into the water. Nobody likes that. Nuclear power is very efficient but very toxic in its byproducts, and you can have atomic bomb as a byproduct. We don't like that. What does that tell you? One day another man will show up, bring up one small technology, patent it, and make Bill Gates look poor. That you look and say, how could we have called that man the richest man in the world? Was that how poor the world was that time? Yes. I believe one thing very sure. I believe this most certainly. The universal cure for cancer is a very simple issue. Yes, I can't go give you details. Except that we have not found it. I'm a pathologist, most of you know. And I know cancer is a serious problem. Generally speaking, it's a disease without a cure. Generally speaking. So we try to catch it early. But I have looked enough, all right, to know that, I can't give the details. Only my colleagues who brainstorm on this once in a while. I know that one day God will give somebody insight. And they will just say, boys, that is where the problem is. If we tie those two ends together, we'll solve 90% of the cancer problems in the world. And you say, Pastor Vang, is it possible? Listen, let me tell you the truth. It happened to tuberculosis. Tuberculosis was a guaranteed killer before. But now, only poor people in dead rural areas die from TB now. It's only HIV that made it an issue again. Because when I say poor from, because if you don't have money, there were people giving out the drugs free of charge. You need to both not have money and not have knowledge, not have access to anything. Polio used to what? Forget polio. Smallpox, what's that I want to say? Smallpox will just come to a town, like this Enugu now, it will arrive. Before it comes, there will be 1 million people. By the time it leaves, there only half a million left. Where is it today? It's gone. Plague, that's how it used to wipe out villages. You would travel, say, boys, at the go Lagos, you come back 1 month later, everybody is dead. Where is it now? It's gone. Listen, you see Isaiah 2. That is how cancer will be cured one day. Why am I saying this? When God wants to make another man great, you're giving small wisdom. You say, shh, come. Look, they didn't see this one. Show it to them. Say, Lord, should I do it on a charity basis? Or we should commercialize it? Say, commercialize it now. I want to make you the richest man in the world. Say, thank you, sir. And he will commercialize in such a manner that the people suffering will have to pay him. It's their governments that will be donating $1 billion every year. They'll go around the world and say, oh, we have to eradicate poverty, it's $2 billion. We want to eradicate communism, $8 billion. You'll be talking nonsense around the place. At home, when he goes to church, you say, I am what I am by the grace of God. His power walking towards me. No, listen, what am I saying? I ain't buying football for anybody because of JJ Okocha. There's greatness. Listen. In fact, let's even forget other things. Sports. There are sports that are not being played right now. You know what they call golf? Men invented golf. You know the meaning of the word golf? I'm not joking. This is a matter of fact. Gentlemen only, ladies forbidden. When I heard that thing, I laughed. I said, that was the meaning of the word golf. That's how it started. Some men said, okay, let's... Now, Tiger Woods became the first sports billionaire playing golf. The richest sportsman ever, Tiger Woods. He was the first man who played sports, who did sports into making $1 billion. So, listen. Oh, God. I hope you get what I'm saying. Many things have not been done, so don't let someone go and buy football for your son because of JJ Okocha. By the time your children grow up, everybody will be a footballer. They will be selling footballers for 200,000 naira. So just forget that side. Forget that side. Hey, no, I need to tell us this thing. People just like to fixate their minds on things that they have seen. You know what God said? Dwell in the land, cultivate faithfulness. Don't worry about where I'm taking you to. You wake up one day and find that you are there. You wake up. When Joseph was dreaming dreams, you think he knew he was going to Egypt. He don't gauge all the land when Papa gets. I will be lord of this land. God, your look is a smart thing. He first fired him from the land. Then he became king over a small household, Potiphar's house. And they fired him from there. Then he became ruler inside a small Congolo jail. Ruling outcasts like himself. After he has given up on everything. Said, Lord, that dream. I said, you know, you said we should not smoke. It was the day I smoked. That was when I dreamed that dream. Because you so far than I smoke or no be smoke. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Joseph, it was as if the Bobo was dreaming. I'm sure that guy didn't believe me for the first 1 year. Because less it becomes like the other dream. He just be looking, see what's going on here. Took him a while to get used to it, I think. What am I saying? Listen. Walk with God. Don't worry about where you are right now. Or you can't see where you are going. Listen. This is what the word of God does. He says, seek from the book of the Lord and read. None of these shall fail. Neither would any lack its fulfillment. I'm putting my own words to it now. He said, because once the mouth of God declares, his spirit goes out and he gathers. I hope you're getting my point. The challenge is to rest, firmly believing this thing and not letting it go. Let's read that Psalm. Let's read it. Psalm 131. He said, I don't involve myself in great matters. Things too difficult for me. That's what I was commenting on. Where you are going is too difficult. You can't get there by yourself. It says, surely I have composed and quieted my soul. Like a wind child rests against his mother. My soul is like a wind child within me. Now listen to this. O Israel, have your expectation in the Lord, not in natural things. Have your expectation in the word of God, not what the environment dictates. Don't think because you are getting the first class, you're always passing every course, you know everybody, you will come to something in life. No, I told you, even concerning my son, though he's appearing very smart, I refuse. Because, look, this is our trials in life. Because if you think a child will do well because he's standing out in his class, you will have to accept that the others won't do well because they are not. So you forsake every natural advantage and discountenance everything that is natural. You say, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. There was something David said here, which is why I wanted to read this. He said, I have composed and quieted my soul. It's a job. My time is up. I'll pick up from there next time. He said, I have what? Composed and quieted my soul. There's a procedure for it. You instruct your soul. Oh my God, God taught me that thing. And I enjoy it. Periodically, things will happen. I will settle down and start talking to myself. That's how you compose your soul. You talk to it. Now, the way God designed it is that human beings can be split into two. There's a behaving part and there's a commanding part. I don't know what that means, but I hope you can make sense out of it. What I mean is this. There's a natural part of you that seems to respond and behave every day. But there's a spirit inside you, which you take up and use to control your soul. It's as if that's the master inside there. That's the one God deals with. What I mean is this. David will say, bless the Lord, O my soul. That is, I'm talking to myself. The informed spiritual part of me steps out, looks at the natural part of me and speaks to it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't complain against the Lord, O my soul. Give thanks to the Lord, O my soul. Jump up five times, say thank you Jesus, O my soul. You get what I'm saying? He said, I have composed my soul. That day I said, soul, sit down. Let me give you a few instructions. When you see this happening, this is how you respond. I take the word of God. Oh God, let me end with it. You know, that's why Moses said, God said through Moses to Joshua. In fact, I think he said directly to Joshua. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall compose thy soul with it by singing therein day and night. Because when you do it, you will be careful. Your soul will respond and be careful to do all that is written therein. That's how it works. Listen, life, Satan, two of them joining together, they have an assignment to discombobulate your soul. There's one brother in church. He's late now. That was his English. That's it. To disturb your soul. Soul, be disturbed. That's what life is telling you. How do you get disturbed? Say, sit down. You don't pay for DSTV, yes. Put that on. Calamity News Network, tune it. Fine. See trouble in Haiti? Do you know that the GDP of the whole of Africa is only half of that of California? And even California, wahala day, omo wahala day. What hope do you have for your children? By the way, say Mecca not your mate. He has just finished his house. Ooh. It's disturbing your soul. That's life for you. So much that Jesus came and said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to disturb your soul so badly that you will deny your faith and therefore sift you like wheat. So I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. So what do? We start instructing. There are two people always talking to your soul. Satan and his friends, and you and the Holy Spirit. These are the two groups. Say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't worry about Haiti or California. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Let's start from here. He forgave all your sins. Have you forgotten that? It's true. He healed all your diseases. Listen to me. He's satisfying your youth with good things. Your youth, your mouth, your youth is being renewed like that of an eagle. Don't forget the things he has done for you. Focus on his word. Even though your beginning be small, yet your latter end shall greatly increase. Say, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. Material things are temporal. You are talking to your soul. As you are talking like that, then suddenly you rise. Now listen, this is not drug of opium to make you feel happy. This is a performance-enhancing drug. When you come out, you'll be lucky. Yeah, suddenly you'll be lucky. Listen. They say, rise up early. They say, listen, I'm sleeping. It's rest. Part of rest. It's forbidden to rise up early to go to bed late. So anytime I rise up early is to pray and to give thanks. All the good businesses will wait for you. Let me end it with what I've always said. Blessings are commanded. They don't happen by chance. They say, success is about being in the right place at the right time. No time is right until it rightly happens to you. Did you hear what I said? There's no way to know a time that is right until you God showers a blessing on you. There are those that their success came because they didn't leave the house on time. It is of the Lord that shows mercy. What's our assignment? We compose our... Next time, look, like I said, next time I'm going to finish it, all right? We'll develop this matter of composing your soul. You compose and quieten your soul within you. Because if you don't do that, no matter what God has promised, he won't manifest it. Once you get up and start running to a place where God didn't send you, that's the end of it. God goes to relax. Say, Lord, why are you sitting down? Say, he's busy. When he's tired, I will start. God called Moses. You will deliver children of Israel. God said, yes, very fine, very fine. Buy me a sword. Deliverance. Everybody shout deliverance. Hey, bah, bah. They fight. He slapped the guy, beat him, drive and come up for Egypt. God, I'm just putting the picture. God, wait, he said I'll deliver them. He said, not like that. You are supposed to deliver them with a mighty hand that I will give to you. So we'll wait until you are tired. When the man don't hold, don't rest, don't tire. Say now. You won't fight when you reach there now. He said, no, I promise. Then, before she now fight to kill one person. Now he'll put up his staff, stick, you know, wood. An army will drown. That's when God began to work in his life. Bible says, when the crop permits, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. A time will come in your life, all right? All that you are struggling for morning till night today. Listen to me, literally, it will happen to you in 5 seconds. The money you work a whole month to earn, a time will come that you will calculate what you earn in a month, and that will be equivalent to 5 seconds of that current day. That is, what you earn in a month will become 5 seconds. And I'm telling you, it's a matter of fact. It's happening to people. Somebody one more gave me the gist the other day about Bill Gates. That if you throw money on the floor, it's a waste of time for Bill Gates to pick it. He earns money faster than he can pick it from the floor. So don't think it's impossible. I told this to let you know it can happen. And it will happen to you. Amen. Like I always say, don't die before that time. Let me end by prophesying to you. You will not die before that time in the name of Jesus. You will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads and begin to pray. Let's just give the Lord thanks.